Okay, you're being recorded. All right, we're on Daf Pei Aleph today. So Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, 81a, the top line. Everybody with me? Again, we're talking about different shiurim for Hotzah on Shabbat. So the Mishnah says, Matnitin etzem kidei lasot tarvat. If a person carries a bone, and it's presumably an animal bone, on Shabbos, so the amount of bone that he would have to carry to do the malach of Hotzah would be enough bone to make a tarvat. Tarvat is a small spoon used for doctors, he says here from the Rambam. Okay, I didn't look it up. Rashi says kaf kulyar. I assume kulyar is related to kilor, like an eye salve. So anyway, so then Rabbi Yehuda Omer hilaso menu kaf. Rabbi Yehuda says enough to make a lock out of it. So we think right now in the Havamina that Rabbi Yehuda is saying enough of a bone to make a lock out of it, which would be a larger shear than this small spoon. And the Gemara is going to explain that he doesn't mean to make the whole lock, just to make the teeth a lock, because Rabbi Yehuda is always machmir. All right, we're on the second line on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, 81a. Zechuchid kidei legror bo rosh hakarkar. The glass, you have to take the shear for glass for Hotzah, is enough glass to sharpen this the stick that they use when you're weaving to separate the threads. So you have to sharpen the edge of that stick, that pick, to separate the thread. So that amount of glass to sharpen it, that would be the shear for glass. Soror o Evan. Soror is a pebble. If you remember, this is going back, or if we're going forward, I guess, in Baba Kama, Michael remembers Chatzin Ezek Sororot, right? Yeah, so Chatzin Ezek Sororot is like when an animal is walking, and so it kicks up some pebbles, does damage, so it's a Chatzin Ezek for that. Anyway, so Sororot are pebbles, and Evan is a stone. Kidei Lezrok Ba'of, enough to throw at a bird, meaning to throw at the bird, and the bird gets hit with it, and he'll fly away. That's the amount of the shear for that, for the pebble or the stone. Reb Lazar Bar Yaakov Omer, Kidei Lezrok Ba'him. He says, no, a bird, people shout at the bird, it goes away. So the amount of stone, I don't need a stone to get rid of a bird. The amount of stone would be enough to throw it at an animal, and the animal goes away. That would be the amount for the stone or the pebble. Okay, any questions on anything we did on the Mishnah? Anybody? Everybody good? Okay, I'm moving on then. All right, so now we're on the first line of the Gemara, Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. He says, Lameimra, the Shira, Rabbi Yehuda, Nafish. So the Gemara assumes that the Tana Kama holds the amount of bone is the amount to make this spoon that the doctors use, and that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds, you need enough bone to make a lock. But then if that's the Pshad, then Rabbi Yehuda's Shira is much larger, and he, as a result, is much more lenient in that din. So he says, Hakaimalan Shura Drabana Nafish. So we had already established that as between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama and the Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir. Remember, we explained that the Chachamim hold that we're going to go with the most common usage. Rabbi Yehuda holds if there are two usages, one more common, one less common, I'm going to go with the most stringent of those two. So as a result of that, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir than the Chachamim. He's not more lenient than the Chachamim. He would never do that. And yet here it's coming out in the Mishnah that he's more lenient than the Chachamim. So Amar Ula Chafei Potacha. So the Gemara says that Ula says that what Tana Rabbi Yehuda means, lasot menu chaf, means not to make the whole lock out of it, just to make the teeth for the lock. The teeth are going to be made out of bone. So if he takes that amount of bone that he can make teeth for a lock, so then he's chayev.
You keep referring to it as a lock, but in this Gemara, it refers to it as a key. You can't have teeth in a lock. You can only have teeth in a key.
All right. Okay, so we'll do with key. Let me see what he says here. One second.
This is how it reads in the Steinsaltz.
Yeah, well, here he translates teeth in the lock. The way he says here that the keys were left in the lock is the way he says in the art scroll. And the internal workings, the teeth of these mechanisms were made of bone. All right, whatever it is, it's either key or lock, but it was something that relates to the internal mechanism of this lock. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa, Chafei Potacha Tahorin, that the teeth of the key or the lock, those are tahorim, kiva'an v'potacha tamein. Once he sets it in the lock, now it's mekabel tuma. It means like this, that not everything is subject to tuma. So so if the bone is attached to a keli, so the keli is susceptible to tuma. Vishel Gal, but if it's on a lock that's on a gate, he says, Afal Pisha Chibran Bedelet Ukvan B'masmerim, even though he's attached the lock to the door and he's attached it with nails, so it's like a big object, nevertheless, Tahorin, it's Tahor, he says, Shekol HaMechubel HaKarka HaRuk HaKarka, whatever is attached to the ground is din in the ground can't be Mekabel Tuma, and the lock under those circumstances can't be Mekabel Tuma either. All right. Let me do a few more lines. Zechukit k'dilek rorbo. So we said that if a person carries glass out on Shabbos, so it has to be the shear with which he could sharpen this like pick, this like stick that he's going to separate the threads when he's doing the weaving. So Tana zechukit k'dilek tzoba shnei nimin ka'achat. So a Tana taught in a Braisa, Zechuchit. Zechuchit is the same as Zechuchit. So Zechuchit is glass with the Zion. This is Zechuchit with the Samech. If you look at Rashi, Rashi's right to the right where we are. Zechuchit, Zechuchit, Rashi says. V'yashim shesochin karizchuchit. Socha means to gaze out. Since you could see through the glass, it's also called Zechuchit. He says, V'yal shem shehizacha karizchuchit. And because it's like clear, so it's called Zechuchit. Zacha, Zacha is like some clear pure. And Zvisocha is to see. It's all related to one another. But anyway, so back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Zechuchit v'soba shneinim in ka'achad. So the Tana of the Braisa says, when it comes to glass, the shear is enough glass to cut two threads at the same time. So I think the Meiri says it's the same shear. And that's where that goes. All right. Let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause. Sro Evan Kidizrok Ba'of. We said if you carry a pebble or a stone, the shear is, if it's in other words, the pebble or the stone has to have enough heft, enough weight to throw it at the bird according to the first opinion or at the animal. And it means like to throw it and then the animal like moves away, not just says hello, moo, or whatever. So it's effective. So the Gemara says, Suro Evan Kidazrokba Oaf, Rablazar of Hulez, Rablazar says the animal. Amr Yaakov, Amr Yochanan, Vuhushima Gareshitba. It's got to be capable of chasing the animal away. He says, Vikama Shiro. So what is that shear? In other words, we said that enough big pebble or stone. What is the shear in, you know, other terms? So Tanya, Rablazar ben Yaakov, Meir Mishkal Asar Azuz. Rablazar ben Yaakov says it's a weight, and that's the same Rablazar ben Yaakov who said Kidazrokba Behema. So it's going to be the same thing. He says it's like a stone that's like the weight of 10 zuz, the weight of 10 zuz. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far?
The 10 zuz is one coin or 10?
No. I think it's 10 one zuz coins. That's what I believe, okay? All right, anybody else? Robert, you look so puzzled. You're okay? All right, you look like furrowing your forehead. Okay, and Eddie, you're good. And Yosef, I'd love to see you, Yosef. And nice to have you with us, Pesach David. Malka, I can't see you anymore. You've disappeared. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. Okay, Zonin al Bei Medrasha. Zonin came to the base Medrash. He says, Amar Lahu, he said to them, Rabotai, Avnim Shel Beit HaKisei, Shiran Bakama. So now we shift over to Dr. Frank's department. A lot of the Gemara about, you know, going to the bathroom in today's daf. I meant just that he's a GI person, but that's what
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, all right. So so he says, Avanim shel beit hakisei shiran bekama. The stones that one brings to the bathroom to clean oneself. Well, they didn't have toilet paper, so they would use stones like when a person would relieve themselves, and that's how they would clean themselves. So the Gemara says shiran bekama. So it's either, now a stone, as you know, is muksa on Shabbos, but the Chachamim gave a dispensation. Again, the dinam muksa are dinam derabanan, but the Chachamim gave a dispensation for someone who's going to the bathroom to, you know, move such stones as he needs to clean himself. So that would be one pshat. Or the other pshat is, which Rashi brings both pshatim, the other pshat is, how many stones do I have to carry in the Shus Rabbim to be chayev? So here they say these are going to be sharp stones. They're different than the tsror and the evan that we quoted on the third line. So they quoted in the art scroll that, you know, I don't want to harm the animal. I don't want to harm the bird. I just want to chase it away. So a sharp stone would, you know, injure it. So we're talking about different types of stones. All right. Anyway, so what, and they're both related. In other words, the amount of stones that I used to clean myself, that would be the exception from the muksa, and that would be the shear for carrying the stones in the Rishus HaRabim, because once I get to that level, it's a davar chashuv. So Amrulo Kizaik Ego Zukbeitza. So they said, they answered him, they said, you get three stones. One is the size, each one is larger than the next. One stone the size of a kizayit, an olive. One egos, which is a nut, usually like a walnut. And one kibetz, an egg. So three stones to clean yourself. And goes from smaller to larger. So Rashi explains that you have to do the smaller first. Anyway, so you just, what is Rashi? He says, all right, I'm not going to go into details. Anyway, now, so Amar Lahu, B'chi Tertani Yachnis. So he says, what is a person supposed to do? He's supposed to bring a scale in with him when he needs to go to the bathroom, figure out like what stones he's has to take, whatever. So Nimnu Vagamru, so they had a discussion about this in it sounds like in the Bezdin, and they concluded Mulawayad, that you're entitled to take a fistful, a handful full of stones, and not, regardless of the number, you can bring the handful. So Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kizayik Ego Zekbeitza. So the Braisa records Rabbi Yossi is saying that you get three stones, like we said initially. One stone is the sign of Kizayit, one is Ke'egos, one is Kebeitza. And again, the smallest is Kizayit. Kizayit is either half or Shlish Beitza. And then you have the egos and the beitza. Then in parentheses we have, and you know what parentheses mean, that somebody takes it out. He says, Reb Shimon Reb Yossi Omer Mishum Aviv Melo Ayad. Shimon Reb Yossi says the name of his father, that's Reb Yossi, that it's Melo Ayad. So if that would be the correct girsa, we have two versions about what Reb Yossi said, that one, he said the three stones or Melo Ayad. Perhaps it represents his opinion at different points in time. Remember we saw that they initially thought three stones and then they voted on Melo Ayad. All right. All right, now these are, I think, memorable Gemaras. All right, now, Tan Rabbanan, Shoshavane Mekur Zalot, Mutarlach Nis Lebeda Kisei. So a person's allowed, Mekur Zalot means sharpened. I can bring three sharp stones into the bathroom with me, and meaning I don't have to worry about Muksa. I can bring it into the bathroom. He says, Vekama Shiran, what's the shear? Remeir Omer Ke'egos. Remeir says that this is a different opinion than what we learned earlier. Remeir says that the stone or stones have to be the size of an egos. One second. Give me 1 second. Yeah. So Remeir says that they're all the size of an egos. And then it says Rabbi Huda Omer Kebeitza. Rabbi Huda says they all have to be the size of an egg. So they both disagree with the opinions we had earlier. Now, so one holds. Egos, one holds kibetza. One is like the size of a nut, one is the size of an egg. So, and the egg is a larger one. Amarav from Bar Papa, Amarav Chista, Kimachloket Khan, Kach Machloket Be'etrog. Just like these two Tanaim, i.e. Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda, and those are two Bar Peluktis throughout Shas, just like they have a disagreement about the size of the stone that one can clean oneself with on Shabbos, they have the same disagreement, with the same shiurim, for the minimum size of an etrog that you could use for on Sukkot. So one holds the minimum size as an egos, one holds the minimum size as a beitza. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, just like they have it here, they have it there? In other words, like have it here, the way it's set up, that's the one that I know, and the one by Sukk, I don't know. He says, Hata manita hachabai breita. Over there, it's a Mishnah. All the Chachamim knew the Mishnayot. Here, it's a Brisa, so it makes more. So the Gemara says, Elo, you're right. Just like we have the machloket by etrog, which everybody knows because the Mishnah and all the Amoraim knew all the Mishnah by heart, so too we have the same machloket by here in this case, which is just the brisa. So they wouldn't necessarily know the brisa. Okay, so let's take a look. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda, about lowet a pious. So Rav Yehuda says a person can't take a pious to clean oneself on Shabbos, and we'll find out what that is in a minute. So my pious, what's a pious? So Amar Rabbi Zera Karshini Bavliyata, it's like Babylonian pebbles. It means it's like sort of like clumps of dirt that they would have in Babylonia, but they would fall apart. So since they fall apart, it's not appropriate to use it for the bathroom, and you don't have any heter from Muksa because of that. So now, okay, everybody good so far? Anybody got any questions? Everybody good? All right, I'm moving on. Okay, we're around 15 lines from the bottom on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. Amar Rava, Asur Mashmesh B'Tzur B'Shabbat, Gidera Shemashmesh B'Chol. A person can't use a pebble. Now here, and this may need a little input from Dr. Frank, people who have difficulty, relieving themselves, they would like sort of stimulate themselves with like a pebble in order to encourage a bowel movement. So the Gemara says, I can't use a pebble on Shabbos the way I would use one during the week in order to get my bowels moving. And apparently the issue is that I'm afraid he's going to cut hairs, like hairs like in the rectum, and then he'll be chayav for gozes. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, Matkif lamar zutra listakein. This is what a person supposed to do. He's supposed to put in safe sakana. So the Gemara takes it that if a person doesn't make a bowel movement, he's going to have a sakana. And Rashi quotes a Gemara like that. So the Gemara says, kila achar yad. He'll do it, kila achar yad. He'll do it in an irregular fashion. So an irregular fashion would cut it down to a drabanan level. And then in this circumstance, the Chachamim permitted one to do it on Shabbat with the tzror, okay?
Why is that a psik reisha de lo nichel, eh?
Yeah, so the Gemara, let's go slowly with this. The Gemara, you know, is de lo nichel,
eh? Yeah, de lo ichbat. He doesn't want the hair, it's painful to have his hair removed.
All right, just one minute. Yeah, lo nichel means that the result is something I don't want, right? Is that
he doesn't want
here?
The hairs removed.
Yeah, but in other words, like something I don't want is something that causes me harm by this happening. So the hairs are cut. I think it's more I think you were right the first time. I think it would be psik resha lo ichpat lay. I think that he doesn't care. So lo ichpat lay, that would be a malacha doraisa. So if it's lo ichpat lay, it would be a malacha doraisa. That's the way I see it. Anyway, now. Lo nichalei means it's in my interest that this should not happen, and doesn't mean that I don't want the violation of Shabbos, but it means like from other factors I don't want this result.
Right, that's what painful.
I don't know. All right, now
okay.
That's the best I have with that. Now, so the Gemara ends up saying he'll do it kala achar yad, that'll cut it down to a drabanan level. And here, in these circumstances, the Chachamim permitted one to. So that's what Rava means. So going back, so now when the Gemara says, Rava says, that I can't use the pebble the way on Shabbos, the way I use it during the week, doesn't mean I can't use it at all. I can't use it in the normal fashion. I'll do it kla achar yad, I'll hold it in an unusual fashion, and then I could use it. Okay, now, you want to say anything, Michael, about the bowel movements and stimulating and things like that? No. All right, now, Amar Biana.
I've heard worse.
All right. Amar Rabbi Yanai, im yesh makom kavu lebeit kisei melo yad. So Rabbi Yanai says he's qualifying the halacha we said before. We said on Shabbos, a person could take a handful of stones to the beit kisei, and that's going to be his toilet paper. So he says if there's a beit kisei kavua, there's a set latrine, and you're there, so you can take all those rocks in because even if something's left over, you'll be able to use it the next time around. It's like the bathroom. So you have more toilet paper for the next time you go, so it's no problem. He says, im lav, but if it's not a beit kisei kavua, now the way the Rashi learns Peshad, kehechra, that you'll do like the middle section, the middle shita. The middle shita was, it sounds like you're going to take one stone and it's going to be the size of an egos, which was like the middle shear. That's the way Rashi learns Peshad. Okay, now, Meducha katana shel basamim. Now, let's say there's a stone. You have the mortar and the pestle. So the mortar is like the cup-like, you know, the cup-like object used to crush basamim in. So he's got a meducha katana shel basamim. He's got a small stone which is fashioned to be like a bowl for the basamim for different fragrances. Now the question is, can he use it to clean himself with on Shabbat? Now, this menducha is normally muksa, right? Because it's muksa because he crushes things in it. So it's kli shemalach to l'isur. Can he? So we spoke about, you know, taking just a stone. That's a different category of muksa. But this is kli shemalach. So can he take it? So Amar Rav Sheshet im yeshala eid mutar. Rav Sheshet says if the signs that it's been used already for this purpose, then he could take it. It's like it's in the toilet paper category, and now he could take it on Shabbat to clean himself with. So Mefei, so we ask a question on this. So that implies that you would reuse somebody else's stones to clean yourself. So the Gemara is going to quote a brisa that's not recommended to do that. So Mefei, we ask a question from the following brisa. Ten things bring a person to hemorrhoids. And maybe we'll hear from Dr. Frank on this. He says, if a person eats leaves of reeds, And again, the reeds then, I think, were like harder than the reeds we're familiar with. But like you find him, if a person eats grape leaves of grapevines, is the shoots of grapevines. Umorige behema below melach. Morige behema means like ridged parts of the meat. And Rashi says like the tongue, one of the stomachs. Which stomach does he quote? Let me take a look. He says the beta kosot. So what we need, this is Ed, I think it's the reticulum. I think the reticulum is the beta kosot, right? With the stomachs, the beta kosot, I think it's the reticulum. It's the one with the very thick stomach wall, and the surface looks like little cups. Anyway, I think it's the reticulum. Anyway, so one of the stomachs of the animal. Anyway, so if a person eats like this ridged meat, that's also going to give you problems. With shidro shel dag, sounds like the skeleton of a fish. With dag maliyah shel bishel kotzarko, a salted fish that hasn't been totally cooked. Bashotish shmara yayin, if a person drinks like the sediment of the wine. V'kneich besid v'charsid, if a person cleans himself with lime or harseed is like broken pieces of pottery. And bitzror shekineh bochaber, that's the part we need. If a person cleans himself with a pebble that somebody else had reused the pebble, or somebody who used a secondhand pebble, he says, v'yeshomrim afatola asmo betakise. Some say if a person, he doesn't sit on something, he just suspends himself in the betakise, that also leads you to tachtoniot. So the question is that here we had, we quoted the statement before that Rav Sheshet says that you could use this meducha, this mortar that had been used once before, and here in the Brisa says don't use like a pebble that's been used once before. So lo kasha habalach habiyavesh. So the Gemara says no contradiction between the Brisa and the statement of Rav Sheshet that we had before. This Brisa is talking about where the pebble is still moist, it's like a freshly used pebble, and the early one is like dried off already, then you could reuse it. He says ve'i by name, or also could say kan mitzad achad, that the earlier statement is talking about like one side of it has got debris on it, and this statement is talking about they both have sides debris on it. So if one side is dirty, I could use sort of the cleaner side to clean myself with, but if both sides are dirty, then I'm gahak tzuris. V'ibaydema hadidei hadachare. Or else I could say that the earlier statement is talking about where he's the one who used it, and then he could use it again. If his friend used it, he should not use it again, because that leads to tachtoniot. Okay, Michael, do you want to say anything about hemorrhoids and reusing the pebble and things like that?
No.
All right. Anybody have any questions, comments, or thoughts?
I knew he was going to say that.
Yeah, all right. That's the way Michael usually does it on these scientific Gemaras. Anyway, anybody have anything else to say? Any other comments? Malka, we lost you again. I'm looking at the ceiling and the walls, but I'd like to see you, Malka. All right, let's see. Back on the Gemara. Thank you. I can only see the top of your head now, Malka. Come on, we could do better than that. All right, so we're three lines from the bottom on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. 81A, three lines from the bottom. All right, Amar li Abaye Rav Yosef. So Abaye says Rav Yosef, and again, Abaye was the Talmud of Rav Yosef, and we see that they frequently show up in the Gemara together. He says, Yardu aleg d'shamim v'nitash d'shumah. What if, like, he has this, you know, the pebble that's been used or whatever, and then it rains, and now it's like, does that sort of, like, put it in a different category? So Amar le imayaru shmani kar mutar. I didn't say right. One minute. You're the previous two stone. Right. So again, let me go back. So we said that we had it's going back with the mortar. With the mortar is like the thing that's used for crushing the basamim. So that's muksa. But once it's been designated as like toilet paper, it's not muksa anymore. So he says, let's say it rains on this mortar with the schmutz on it. Does it like kind of wash it off? Is it like going through like the laundry cycle? And now it's like restored to its previous status. So he says, mutar. If you could still see, like there's still like traces of excrement on it, then you're allowed to use it. Okay. Now, Barmini Rabba Bar of Shila Mirav. So Rabba Bar of Shila Es Rav. Okay, turn page, pay off on the days.
I have a question.
Go ahead. What's up?
What was the status of the mortar going to Shabbos?
Say again, repeat.
What was the status of the mortar going to Shabbos?
Of the status of what? I can't hear you clearly. Of the what? Wait, just repeat loudly. I can't hear you so clearly, Yosef.
What was the status of the mortar going to Shabbos?
Yeah. Well, that's the $64,000 question, Yosef. If you mean before Shabbos had it been used? Yeah, so presumably it was used before Shabbos. That's the understanding. Otherwise, it's muksa. It was because that's the status of the item going into Shabbos would be the status of it.
It was used as toilet paper going into Shabbos.
Like Friday afternoon, yeah, something. Or I don't know exactly when, but that presumably would be the case. Because otherwise, if it's, you know, we say migo de katzai le bin hashma, show de katzai le kuliyoma.
That's my question.
Once it's muksa going into Shabbos, it would be muksa the whole day. So the status couldn't be removed. So that's what I assume the case would be. All right. Anyway, okay, let's go back. Okay, everybody mute themselves again. All right. Now, so we said, boi mine rababar of shila me rav, t'roshet me rav chista, maula lo tam achrav lagag. Are you allowed to take now? I'm walking with these, the person has got to go to the bathroom, so he's taking his fistful of stones, and he has a dispensation for the dinam of muksa. But is there any limit how far he can go with that? Can he walk up to the roof and it's like going up like to the, like, you know, it means like a big distance? Or is dispensation just to go take the stones and go right away to the bathroom? So he says, Amarlay. So Rashi says on the top line, Chayshin l'tircha yeter to'olo. Do we have to be choshesh for extra tircha? So again, tircha doesn't mean necessarily like I'm perspiring and things like that, but I'm engaging in an effort which I'm not required to do. You know, and that's tircha yetera on Shabbos. So he says on the top line. So Rav Chista says, "I'm like gadol kvod abriot shtocha lo taaseh shabatora. Kvod abriot and going to the bathroom is definitely kvod abriot. Is docha lo taaseh shabatora. So remember, we had this in Brachot not too long ago. I guess everything is since January. It's such a big change since January. It's only 5 months. So everything this machzor has happened in the last 5 months. Just with this COVID, it feels like the world has changed so much. So so if you remember in Brachot, we said that Bitalam Tamehem. Remember, it says in Torah, Lo Tiret Shorachicho Seyoni Dachim Baderach Bitalam Tamehem. You shouldn't see your friend's sheep, Lo Tiret Shorachicho Seyo, or his ox, you know, that are for plunging on the way, and you hide your eyes from it. So the Gemara learns that there are times that you can hide your eyes. In other words, like times vihit alam tamehem. So the Gemara learns if it's zakein mein lefi kvodo, if it's an older person, you know, when he sees some object and it's not hit like kabbadik that he should pick up that object and return it, so the Torah doesn't require him to do that. So, you know, there's things that the Torah, so gadol kvod abriot. So Chazal deduce from there that gadol kvod abriot, the kvod abriot is very great. It's docha lo taaseh shabatorah. In other words, it says, lo tuchal hitalaim, I shouldn't hide my eyes. But here, b'talam tamehem, here I could. So here too, like going to the bathroom is kvod abriot. So the Gemara says, just a minute. So the third line, Yatim Reimor Rakamor Lola Hashmaita. So Reimor was sitting and repeating over this whole statement from Rav Chista. Eifei Ravina Lemreimor. So Ravina asked Reimor, Reb Lezer Omer, Notel Dam Kisim Mishilafanav, Lachatzot Bo Shinav. That the Tana Reb Lezer says that on Shabbos, a person can pick up like a toothpick. It means like a piece of wood. They didn't have like fancy toothpicks like we have today. But a person could pick up a toothpick from the ground and clean his teeth on Shabbos. The Chachamim Omrim, we want to focus on the Chachamim. Chachamim say, Lo yitol ela min ha'evus shel behema. I can only take the toothpick from the animal's trough. In other words, there it's been designated as like food for the animal, so then it's not muksa. So according to the Chachamim, even though he needs to clean his teeth, he has to take it from the non-muksa item. He says, and so he's assuming that it's also kvod abriot to clean the teeth. He's got all this like food in between his teeth. It's like not kabodik. And nevertheless, we see the dinim of muksa are not relaxed for kvod abriot. And yet in the earlier case, we're saying when you want to go to the roof, whatever, that's called a briozo, so you're going to go marching off, you'll do it, even though the stones are normally muksa. So the Gemara says, Hachi hashta, how can you compare the two cases? Hatam adam kaveya makom lesuda. Every person decides where he's going to eat a meal. So when I eat my meal, I decide where I'm going to be, and I'm in control of the events. And so Mela, I should set up my meal in a place near where there's like a kosher toothpick, so to speak. He says, Hacha adam kaveya makom lebeit hakise. Does a person establish where the beit hakise is? And it's not like our homes where they had, bathrooms in the homes, in-house plumbing, they would go out and find a place. And so sometimes if that place is occupied, so you might have to go up to the roof. And so you got to grab the opportunity when it happens. All right. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Asur lefanot b'sedeh nir b'Shabbat, that a person should not relieve himself in a plowed field on Shabbat. So the verse is my time. What's wrong with relieving yourself in a plowed field on Shabbat? So Ilema Mishum Davsha. Maybe you'll say it's because Davsha, that he's going to, like the field has been plowed, and he's going to flatten the rows that have been plowed, and he's going to cause monetary damage to his friend. He's not the field owner. So I'm going to go into my friend's field and help fertilize the place. but he's gonna pack down like the dirt that's been plowed up. So he says, I feel a b'chol nami. So then it shouldn't be just a din in Shabbos, it should be a din even during the week. And yet Rav Huna said that the din is just a din in Shabbos. So it doesn't seem like that's the issue. V'yelo mishum asabim. Maybe the problem is asabim. And the asabim is that there are grasses that are growing on stones in the field, and he's concerned he's going to wipe himself with the stone and detach the grass. Now, it's really grass, is like moss. Moss is growing on the stones in the field, and now he's going to detach the moss from the stone when he cleans himself. So we think that that's the din in Tolesh. So the Gemara says, V'ha'ama Reish Lakish, Sror Shalubo Asabim. Reish Lakish says, if I have a pebble, that is the Gemara calls it asabim, grass. I don't think grass grows on the stone, but moss grows on the stone. And that's the way it seemed like from the art scroll too. So he says here, Elishalubo asabim, mutar kaneachba, a person can clean himself with it, the stone on Shabbos, but tolish mimena b'shabbat chayav, meaning that we view this as einam etkaveh. Now's the time for einam etkaveh, Michael, that the fact that the grass will become detached from the stone, that we view as an einam etkaveh, and he doesn't intend to do it. It may or may not occur. But if a person is intentionally taking off the moss from the stone of Shabbos, he is chayav mishum tolesh. He says the chayav chatat. So again, we can't figure out what the problem is. Why did Rav Huna say I can't go to the plowed field to relieve myself? We thought it might be because he's tamping down the ground, but it wouldn't be just on Shabbos. And then we thought maybe it's because he's tolesh the moss from the stones, but that's just an einam etkaveh. We're afraid he's going to take the stone, like which is in one place, and then put the stone in a cavity, like which is, in other words, he's going to even out the playing field in the field. In other words, the stone is hanging there, and that's an impediment to the grass and the things. He's going to take the stone, use it, and then put the stone in a hole in the ground. So whereas before there was a hill, now everything is flat. He says, "Da Amar Rabba, Haitalo Gumo Tmama." If on Shabbat he had a hole in the ground and he filled up the hole, he says, "Babay Chayav Mishum Bona." So if the hole is in his house, it means he's got a dirt floor, so he's chayav because of bona. That's like building. He says, "Besada Chayav Mishum Choresh." So in the field, he'd be chayav because of choresh on Shabbat, because now he's making the field like more arable, because everything is like even. Everything's even. All right, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did?
But why shouldn't that also be davar she'eino mitkaveh? Like when we had the bench, the safsal that he
No, because this is not eino mitkaveh. It's definitely happening. In other words, eino mitkaveh may or may not occur. Here it's occurring. In other words, the concern is he may come to the situation. When the situation occurs, he'll badai be doing malach on Shabbos. All right. Anybody else? Malka, you're doing better, but we gotta work it up, getting a little bit lower. Yeah, go ahead, just unmute yourself, Malka. You can't hear? 5 minutes? What's going on with Malka? Let me unmute you. I'm saying, what's up, Malka?
Aren't you also nourishing the the field when you're defecating on it?
What, you mean like Zorea? No, like because urine doesn't help the field. It harms the field.
Well, you don't need a, you need a stone for urine?
No. So you mean the defecating is like fertilizing the field?
Yeah, fertilizing. So, that's a good word.
Yeah. So fertilizing, and therefore that should be which malacha? You mean like Zorea? You mean like that? Yeah.
I guess.
I don't know. Like Zorea, they talk about watering the field. I've never heard about fertilizing, that's malachat Zorea. That I would have to look into a little bit.
We can't. We can't water our plants on Shabbat.
Clearly not. But the it must be, I mean, most logically, Zorea is like cause the plants to grow. And fertilization doesn't exactly cause them to grow, but it does sort of enhance the growth. So, but I would have to look into it a little bit. But it just doesn't seem like the Gemara is concerned with that. So that's what makes me think not. Okay. Okay. Now I'm going to mute you again, but you could unmute yourself when you need to. Okay. All right.
Enhancing the growth, as we said, is also an issue. Like when you
Say again. What David, say again, loud.
The idea of enhancing the growth, we've said before, is also an issue, not just causing it to grow. But didn't we have that when you're like cutting something off the plant that enhanced its growth?
To stimulate the growth, right. If your coat's there and it stimulates the growth, right. All right, so I have to look into this with the, although, you know, it could be, again, coming back, where are you, Malka? Malka, you there? I can't see you anymore. Yeah, again, so we're talking about a plowed field. So the plowed field is nothing in the plowed field. In other words, there's no plants been planted there yet. In other words, he plowed it with intent to plant things there. So there's nothing growing in the field right now. So I think that's the better answer. Malka, you with me? What do you think? Malka? What's with Malka? Malka?
Why are you assuming that there's nothing planted? Why couldn't they have plowed and put seeds in?
Yeah, because here the Gemara, one second. Because the Gemara spoke about that he plowed it and he looked.
The reason you plow is to put in seeds.
Yeah, look at Rashi, the 10th line in Rashi. You have Rashi, Robert?
I'm looking.
The 10th narrow line from the top. Is stay near? In the narrow lines in Rashi.
Go ahead.
Okay, but stay near. Charisha Rishona, the first plowing, Rashi says, V'omeid Lazria, and it's ready to be sown. It's ready for the planting, but nothing's been planted there yet. I think that's the best answer. Malka, you heard me, Malka? Give me a thumbs up. I can't hear you, but okay. Okay, good work. Okay, and I think that answers your question too, Pesach David. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Okay, I'm moving on. Let's mute everybody. All right, we're up to Gufa. We're around midway down the column on Pei Aleph Amud Beis. Gufa, earlier we quoted Amar Reish Lakish, Sror Shalubo Asabim, that if you have a pebble or a stone that grass is growing on it, we said it means like moss. Mutar l'kanechba, a person can use it to clean himself on Shabbat. But toleish mina b'shvat chayav chatat. But if a person, you know, knowingly removes the moss from it and it's b'shogeg, he forgot it was Shabbos, he forgot he wasn't allowed to do it, he's chayav korban chatat. Amar Papi, so Papi says shmami nami d'Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish says I could pick up the stone. There's no problem picking up that stone and using it to clean myself, even though it has something growing on the stone. So Amar Papi, Shmami Nami Reish Lakish, I can extrapolate from Reish Lakish's halacha, Hai Parfisa Shari Litzotulei. Parfisa is this Atzitz Nakuv. It comes up all throughout Shas and Poskim. I have a flower pot, but it has holes in it. Flower pot with holes in it. Fern remembers. So he says from Reish Lakish, I could deduce that I can lift up this flower pot, and the flower pot's got things growing in it. I could lift up the flower pot on Shabbat. He says, now, before we go on, there's an interesting Rashi here. Let's look at the Rashi. It's around 20 lines above where it gets wide in Rashi. Hi, Parfisa, everybody have it? So, Atzitz Nakuv Shazarubo. It's a perforated pot that they planted in it. Then Rashi says, Uvachuvat Gaonim Matsati. He found in this chuvat from the Gaonim, he says, Shaosin Chotalot Mikapot Tamarim, that they made baskets from palm fronds. And they fill it up with dirt and you know, animal manure. The chafbeit otef avyom lefnei Rosh Hashanah, and 22 or 15 days before Rosh Hashanah, osin kol achad v'achad l'shem kol katan u'katana shebabayit. That everybody makes like one of these pots with growing plants for, you know, corresponding to the children in the home. He says, Vizorim Latochan Pula Mitzri, they plant this Egyptian bean, O kitnet, or some type of legume, Vikorlo Porfisa, Vitsomeach. Apparently it grows within the 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Uva Erev Rosh Hashanah, Notel Kolachad Shalo. So on Erev Rosh Hashanah, everybody takes his pot, his Umachsirosivo Rosho Shiva Pamim, and he puts it around his head 7 times. He says, Va'omer Zet Tachad Zeh. He says, this is instead of me. And then he throws it into the river. It sounds like a type of kaparot, but only with this pot. All right. Anyway, that's just an aside, but it's an interesting Rashi. All right, let's take a look back at the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amara Papi, Mishmamin Rishlach Shai Parfisa Shartzatule, that a person is allowed to pick up the pot on Shabbat, and it's not a problem that he's like lifting it off the ground, just like it was not a problem lifting off that stone, even though it had things growing in it. In other words, the Gemara takes it that the ground gives like sort of like the aroma, gives something to the plant. So it's Matkif Rav Kahana, Im Amru Litzorech, Yomru Shlo Litzorech. The fact that the Chachamim permitted the person, in other words, at most this is going to be a Din Derabanan. In other words, at most whatever's taking place with this type of Tlisha would be an Easter Derabanan, not an Easter Deraisa. So over here, Rav Kahana says, if the Chachamim permitted you to take these stones, that's for Tzorach. You have a definite need to take the stones. In other words, so they're giving you a dispensation for Tzorach. He says, Yom Shalom Tzorach, would they give the same dispensation without a need to lift it up? Amar Abaye, meaning not. Amar Abaye Parfisa Hol Va'ata Liadon Lema Bei Melta. So Abaye says, now that you brought up the issue of Parfisa, let me say a few halachot about the Parfisa. Haimunach Al Gabi Karka V'nichol Gabi Yitedot. If the Parfisa, which is this perforated flower pot, was sitting on the ground, and on Shabbat he lifts it up and puts it on stakes. In other words, there are stakes in the ground. So he lifts up the Parfisa from the ground and he sticks it on like the stand. He says, Mechayev Mishum Tolesh. He's Chayev Shum Tolesh. And again, here you have to say the Chayev doesn't mean Chayev Doraisa, but on a Drabanan level, he's Chayev because of Tolesh. Hayamunach al-Kabi Yitedot, if it was sitting on tops of stakes, V'nicho al-Gabi Karka, he puts on the Karka, Chayev Mishum Noteya. He's Chayev Mishum Noteya, and like planting on Shabbat. And I think that's the way we say. In other words, usually the halacha, we view a perforated pot as like part of the ground, and you should be careful for it. Now, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Asur L'Kaneach B'Cheres B'Shabbat. Now, Rabbi Yochanan says a person's not allowed to clean himself with a pot shard. So now we're moving to a cheres. A cheres is like you had, let's say, a pot, it was broken. So now I'm taking a pot shard as a piece of that cheres. So a person is not allowed to clean himself with a pot shard on Shabbat. My time, why not? Yilein Mishum Sakana, maybe because of Sakana. So the... One minute, let me get with Sakana. One second. So he says like he's gonna cut himself. He'll cut muscles or something like that using this pot shard. So the Gemara says, Yilim Mishum Sakana Pil Bechol Nami. So then it wouldn't just be on Shabbos I shouldn't use it. I shouldn't even use it during the week. He says, so that's reason number one. Reason number one we think is out the door. Maybe it's a concern that he'll be vulnerable to like sorcery if he uses the pot shard. He says, Afil b'chol nami, nami lo. Then even during the week, he should also not be. So the first two reasons we gave, either he'll injure himself physically or he'll put himself in a vulnerable position for kshafim, should also be true during the week. So two reasons down. V'yelamishum hasharat nimin. So the Gemara says it must be that we're afraid that he's going to cut the hairs and then that'll be gozes. So the Gemara says, Davar Shem Nekabinhu. So here, the Gemara has like what Michael wanted to say in Amud Aleph. Here, the Gemara says, Davar Shem Nekabin. So that's also out the door. So Amar Lahu, Rav Nathan Bar Oshia, Gavar Rabba Amar Milta, Nimba Tamat. Rabbi Yochanan has said something. He's a God on the door. We have to give a Svara for it. So the Gemara says, Behold, Asur. In other words, Mustam, what he meant is, it goes without saying that during the week you can't use the pot shard. Shabbat, hold the Ikator Kliolav Shapir Dami. In other words, One second. Right. So during the week, you can't use it because it makes you vulnerable to the kishuf. But on Shabbat, I would think that, you know, maybe we should have a special dispensation because he needs something to clean himself with. So see back in the Gemara. So he says, Lombayim chol da asur, abu Shabbat, hu abu ikatorat kli alav shabri dami. So wait, let me just say, in other words, he wants to say that on Shabbos,
it should be better than using the stone, which is muksa.
Right, we're gonna relax the muksa dinim. Now, he says, right, so we should use a stone. Right. So I would think again. So the pachart is a problem with shafim. So then I shouldn't use it during the week. But on Shabbat, I would think hol v'ikatorat kli alav. Right. So the choice is to use a stone, which is a muksa issue, but to come and relax the dinim, or I could use the pot shard, which is a kishuf problem, and not enter into the issue of muksa. So the Gemara says, so lo mabay b'chol da asur, I would think during the week I can't use the pot shard, I'm going to be vulnerable to the kishuf. Well, with Shabbat, ho v'ikator kli alav, but on Shabbos, my choice is pot shard or stone. Stone is muksa problem, so but they'll relax the dinim of muksa, but I don't want to get into that whole issue. But this has got a Torah kli. The pot shard is called a kli. So shapri dami, I would say that I should use the pot shard on Shabbos. So kamash malan. So kamash malan, that even on Shabbos, he shouldn't use it. Okay. Rav amatni lamishum hasharat nimin. He says, v'kashle Rabbi Yochanan. Rav learned that, so the way we learned is that Rabbi Yochanan is saying, the problem with the pot shard is kishuf, and I would think that maybe on Shabbos I should be allowed to use it. Kamash Malan, I can't. But the Gemara says that Rava learned that was Rava, the Rava the first way. So now it's Rava with an Aleph. He says the problem is like cutting your hair, in other words, cutting the person's hair like in the rectum. He says, V'kashalei Rabbi Yochanan. So it would come out that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you can't use the pot shard on Shabbos, because you're gonna cut hairs in the rear. So that would come out, Niyamar Rabbi Yochanan lekaneich becheres b'Shabbat, amad rashim kaben asur. That only makes sense if Rabbi Yochanan holds that a davar shein mitkaben is asur. We said that if you use this, it'll be davar shein mitkaben, and so we should be allowed to do it. But if Rabbi Yochanan is saying can, it must be davar shein mitkaben is asur, according to Rabbi Yochanan. But Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halachik sta mishnah, Yochanan says that halacha always follows the anonymous mishnah. The utanan, we learn in the mishnah, Nazir chofeif v'aspeis, the Nazir who's not allowed to cut his hair can rub his hair and disentangle his hair of a lo so rake, but he can't comb the hair because then the hair will come out. So the point is, when he rubs the hair, that's a davar shenu miskavein. In other words, when he rubs the hair may or may not come out, and yet the Tana Mishnah says he could do it, and that's a Tana. And Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha, so even though there's a machloket about Eino Mitkavein, right, so halacha we go like Rabbi Shimon holds Davar Shein Mitkavein is mutar, but Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is like a Stam Mishnah. So it can't be that Rabbi Yochanan is paskening Davar Shein Mitkavein is asur. So he says, Elo Mechvartek Rav Natan Bar Oshi. So the Gemara says it's clearer the way Rav Natan Bar Oshi explained it, that it's an Indian with Kishuf. Okay, now Mike Kshafim. So what's this issue with Kshafim about using this pot shard to clean oneself? So kihad Rav Chista Rabba Rav Huna, like the incident that occurred with Rav Chista and Rabba Rav Huna, Habuka Azli Ba'arba, they were traveling by boat. He says, Amro Lahu Hahi Matronita, a certain Matronita, Matronita is like a matron, a noble woman, but she's a non-Jew. She says to them, Otvan Bahadaihu, I want you to sit me amongst you. I want to be able to sit down where you are. I keep thinking there was somebody in our shul, like they said they were in Eretz Yisrael. In a bus, and a very firm person, like it's one of these things that stopped long picking different people up. It wasn't a bus, it was like what do they call the van, not a cheroot, but with like a van that picks people up anyway. So he was there with his wife, so this fellow's firm person comes and he opens the door. He says, oh, this isn't good, it has to change. Like he didn't want to sit near a woman or whatever, so you know, he wanted the seating to be a little bit different. So anyway, so they didn't want this lady to sit with them. I don't know if it's because she's a woman or it's going to emerge that she's really mechashefa. I don't know if that was the issue. So he says, below otfua, they didn't seat her. Amra ihi milta asar tala arba. So she pronounces some sort of incantation, and now the boat is stuck. It can't move. So Amru Inhu Milta Sharyua. So they themselves said Milta. Rashi says they shame Tara. They used the shame Hashem to get the boat released. Others want to say that they actually, you know, the issue is how could they have said Kishuf to get the boat released? And but they want to say that he has here in the art scroll, he says that they knew the sorcery spells, trying to use them in order to save themselves. All right. Anyway, he says, Amrle, Mayyabidlhu. So well, he says, what can I do to you? Turn page, Pebeazmanal, he says, Loma Kanech Lhubakaspa. You don't clean yourselves with a pot shard. If you would clean yourself with a pot shard, you would have been vulnerable to my spell, but you don't do that. He says, Velo Katilhu Kina Manaihu. You don't kill the lice when it's on your garment. Then also you would have been vulnerable. You don't pull a vegetable out from a bundle of vegetables that have been bound by a gardener, which case you would have been also vulnerable, but you don't do any of those things, so what am I supposed to do? All right, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did? All right, let me just see for 1 minute. All right, let me do a little piece here from the Al Adaf, and then that will be it for tonight. All right. One second. All right. So we said about Gadol Kvod Abriyo Chedokhalo Taseh Shabbatorah. So the Gemara says you can use these stones to wipe yourself, even if you don't prepare stones or cut bathroom tissue, because the Isra Muksa was lifted for the sake of Kvod Abriyo. Now he quotes Rashi, and this is from the Al Adaf by Rabbi Zev Dikstein. Rashi in Sukkah Lamed Vav states that although the Isra Muksa was suspended for the sake of Kvod Abriyo, we not carry the stones more than 4 amot in an open field, which we're carrying is rabbinically prohibited. In other words, the open field is a carmelite. So even though they relaxed some dinim derabanan, they didn't say you could, you know, relax all the dinim derabanan. In other words, so we'll give you, you can't carry more than dalet amot. Tosfos disagrees and maintains that just as the sages suspended the Easter muksa for the sake of kavod abriyot, they also suspended the rabbinic Easter of carrying 4 amot in an open field or carrying from a field to the house. An open field is a carmelite and so forth. And we got the whole deal with this. Now, Reb Lezer applies the same leniency to using a non-prepared splinter of wood as a toothpick on Shabbos. Even though a non-prepared piece of wood is muksa, Reb Lezer permits handling it to remove food that is stuck between one's teeth, because this too is a case of kvod abriyot. The Rabbanan disagree with Reb Lezer with regard to a toothpick because a person knows where he plans to eat his Shabbos meal is considered negligent for not preparing toothpicks. Even though the use of toothpicks is necessary for kvod abriyot, the Rabbanan maintain the Isur of Muksa is not waived in a case of negligence. In the case of the bathroom, one who did not prepare bathroom tissue or stones is not considered negligent because a person does not know prior to Shabbos exactly which bathroom he will end up using on Shabbos. It's difficult to prepare stones for each location. The Gosa Sheri comments that accordingly, if one has a private bathroom in his house, he must set, prepare, and designate wiping material before Shabbos, and if he fails to do so, he's not permitted to use muksa on Shabbos. Okay, now, the authorities consider whether one who uses the bathroom on Shabbos and does not have any cut bathroom tissue may violate the Easter of Korea, tearing and tear paper from a roll for the sake of kvod abriyot. Okay, now we're getting to the issue. So it's Shabbos. I didn't prepare Shabbos toilet paper. So I'm in the bathroom. So where does this leave me, al pi halacha? Can I rip up the toilet paper? So one point addresses whether cutting paper involves a malacha min haTorah of Korea, tearing. It was also Easter derabanan. So the first thing, so we want to find out, is this an Easter deraisa or Easter derabanan? It helps a lot. So the Rav deduces from the Mishnah on Ein Gimel that tearing is not done, I'm not latakein. The intent to repairing is only rabbinically forbidden. In other words, it has to be korea, I'm not latfor. Korea, but I'm just on korea, that's in the Rabbanan. The Mishnah implies that tearing is considered a malacha only if one tears, I'm not latakein. Such type of tearing was performed in the Mishkan. One of the curtains would develop a hole. They would tear the fabric to enlarge the hole. They would mend it. Accordingly, if one has no bathroom tissue and he has no other option available, there are grounds to permit him to tear some bathroom tissue from a roll because the concern for human dignity takes precedence over rabbinic Yisurim. This would also be permitted only according to Tosfos, who applies leniency bar Gemara even to the rabbinic Easter of carrying. However, according to Rashi, who limits the dispensation of muksa, perhaps tearing is prohibited even with rabbinic Easter. So again, so I'm in a situation, I got my back to the wall, and if I tear the toilet paper, it'll be an Easter derabanan. So Tosfos would say, l'chora, that I could tear it. Now, the Rambam indicates that any act of tearing that is done for constructive purposes is considered koreya, even if not done on Manat Lefur. Accordingly, it would not be permitted to tear bathroom tissue merely for sake of kvod abriyot, because we would not actively violate an Easter Minat Torah for sake of kvod abriyot. The Chalkas Yaakov concludes that even according to this opinion that tearing paper for any constructive purpose is Malach Minat Torah, when we tear the bathroom tissue, kila achar yad. So we're heading right in there. So the first, if I can get it to be a drabanan that helps, if I do kila achar yad in an ordinary, unusual manner, he says, like with his teeth or feet, if I rip it that way, we'll see in a minute, performing malacha in an unusual manner is only rabbinically forbidden. So that's another thing I'd like to do, is tear it in an unusual fashion. The Tshuvas Avnei Yashve says that if one must tear bathroom tissue from a roll, he should tear one large piece rather than several small pieces. Moreover, he considers whether Argmar's dispensation applies to one's private bathroom in his house. Perhaps if one was negligent and did not prepare ready-cut bathroom tissue in his private bathroom, he's not permitted to tear someone's Shabbos since he was negligent. That's really rough. Now, some maintain that care should be taken not to tear the bathroom tissue at the perforated holes, because cutting a fabric or paper to a designated size is prohibited under the Malacha Mechatech. What I saw is, I didn't see this recently, but I remember in that series by Reb Simcha Purim Kohn, the way I remember was, he said to use the toilet paper, throw it and not cut it, throw it into the toilet, flush, and then the tissue would get automatically ripped by the water. You know, the water would automatically like cause it to be ripped apart. You know what I mean? That's what I think he said in the in that book. I have to check up on it. Oh, Michael's smiling. Anyway, you have the issue. You have the way to analyze the problem. The best thing is to get the toilet paper ready before Shabbos. What do you have for me, Olivia? What do you got?
Would it be to put on the perforated holes? Would it be makabel patish?
No, I don't think it would be makab patish. Makab patish is the malacha is basically finished. Then I do the final. I don't think that would apply in this case, but it could be machatech. That's it. It was on the perforated holes. Machatech is when I'm cutting something on a designated line. So that's what the concern is with that. Okay, let me stop the recording. Let me get the recording and.